Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. We're out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern ahead of the Predators matchup with the Minnesota Wild tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame coverage starting at 6 o'clock on 1025 and 1063 The Game. Elliot Friedman will join us in 1 hour. We'll get his thoughts both on the Predators and the playoff race around the league. But Paul Durussell, Jeffrey Simmons' agent, has been doing kind of a media tour. He's going on podcasts, going on radio shows. We'll be on our show tomorrow at noon, so we will get Paul Durussell's thoughts on everything behind the scenes, what went down with Jeffrey Simmons' contract. But I was listening around to some of the things that he was on. D-Mace, you were too, listening to some shows, some podcasts that he had been featured on, just to kind of get a good idea of...
A good feel of who he was.
Who he was, the deal, everything behind the scenes. But there was one thing that really stood out to me. It was one thing that I listened to, and D-Mace, I think it was what you sent me as well. Mm-hmm. He mentioned something very similar. And this was Paul Durussell on a Raiders podcast about the behind-the-scenes X's and O's of Jeffrey Simmons' contract.
For me, man, some agents care a lot about these puffed up APY numbers, right? You can have 27. I could have gotten $27 million a year and it wouldn't have been real money. Could have had a five-year deal on the table for $125 with 66 guaranteed. I mean, all those things make me look good as an agent because the people who don't know, they're like, oh, my God, Jeffrey Simmons signed for $100-something million. But up front, we were always said our thing was we wanted guaranteed money. We wanted flexibility to get back to the table. We wanted short-term security, short and long-term security with an opportunity to come back to the table when Jeff is the best football D tackle in the world.
My first thought when I heard him say that, if you could have gotten 27 a year, why didn't you? If you could have gotten 5 years, 125, why didn't you?
Because he told you. It's all fluff money. We talked about this on our, and we've been talking about this in regards to Jeffrey's contract for over a month now. The AAV looks good for who? He just said it.
The agent.
It looks good for me, the agent, especially when I go out to recruit other players. Hey, look, defensive tackles. You know, you go to the guy that represents, you know, A.J. Brown and Deebo Samuel and all these, you know, these five really, really good to great wide receivers potentially. And he can go out and say, look what I got all of them. They're AAVs. Look what I got. And some people are enamored by that. Mm-hmm. But then when you start to dig, it's like, well, that's a lot of funny money at the end. You may not get that. What Jeff Agent is saying is correct. And this is the route, more players should take.
Let me ask you this, Derek. How many players do you think have maybe fallen for that? Even back in the earlier days. Because I'll say this as a media person, in the early days of the salary cap, when I was just starting doing this for a living, you know, you try to learn about the cap, right? You're learning. And when you first see so-and-so signed a brand new deal, 5 years for $80 million, I didn't know when it first started that that's not how it really goes, right? It takes people to kind of teach you, hey, yeah, look at the guaranteed money.
Exactly.
That's what you're looking at. Some of these years at the end, they may not ever get to these years, right? So that last 15 or 20 million. So it takes a while to learn some of the nuances there. If you're a young player and your agent comes to you and he says, hey, I got you a deal, 5 years for 80 million. I mean, how many players maybe didn't think or maybe, you know, can you trust your agent enough to be able to tell you, hey, you're only guaranteed to get this? Like, I just wonder, especially in the early years when it was kind of all new.
Yeah, I think in earlier years, guys, agents, And I'm not saying the agents, you know, all agents did it, you know, so they can sort of boost up their clientele, you know, later on down the line, you know, but you're trying to get what you believe is the best deal for your guy. And I don't think many guys back then, you know, there may have been some, but I'm sure there has been a lot that looked at that AAV and was like, wow, I'm getting this much, and never really did look at, well, how much of it are you really going to get? Jeff agent is telling you, listen, we could have got 27, 25, 26 million per, but at the end of the day, that wouldn't have been the best contract for my client. My client wants guaranteed money. And I'm going to tell you this. We can go through a contract and kind of point things out. And I was listening to Jared, and he kind of pointed all these things out. Mm-hmm. But a player like Jeff, as young as he is, and he's not riddled with injury, and his play is going to continue to increase, regardless of what that contract says that is really guaranteed, Jeff's going to get that money. Make no mistake. He's going to get all of that money. Why? Because he's that type of player. That's like saying Patrick Mahomes signs this huge deal. We know a lot of it really is funny money, and some of it says it's guaranteed, but it's not. But how many people really think that Patrick Mahomes won't get that money?
But that's,
he will.
That's kind of my point with what he was saying, uh-huh. though. Is because he said we could have gotten 5 years, and I don't know if he really means we could have gotten that, or if it was more of like an idea kind of thing. But when he says we could have gotten 5 years, 4 years, $125 million, whatever it was, $66 million in guarantees. Those are the same guarantees, but a higher AAV. So you would at least be adding more money that Jeff could potentially.
He would have had to add another year possibly, and he didn't want it. He said, we want to be able to have the flexibility to get back to the table earlier rather than later. And this contract that we have affords us that ability to get back to the table quick enough. We may get back to the table even before the contract is done.
Maybe
because
so.
The Titans may want to restructure it and give him more money up front. So, to me, this was definitely a win, obviously, for the Titans. But it was a huge win for Jeffrey Simmons and his camp. Why? Because if Jeff continues to play the way he has been playing, and there's no sign that he's not, if he continues to play this way, if the Titans don't pay him, guess what? Somebody else is going to pay him, and they're going to pay him when he's under 30. So this is a huge deal for Jeffrey Simmons because he has the flexibility to get out of it before he turns the age of 30. That's the way I look at it. So it's a great deal. And he's right. The AAV means nothing anymore. It's what am I getting guaranteed?
And if let's say, because he said we could have gotten $27 million, if that meant lower guarantees, then I would totally understand. Go with the more guarantees. Because I think that's kind of look at AJ. You know, he wanted the higher AAV to go along with the rest of the wide receiver market. But that may have meant lower guarantees, which isn't. I don't think it's very smart to go with a higher AAV, lower guarantee. To your point, D-Mace, you want the higher guarantees. You want the money on the table now that you know that you're going to get. So if the higher AAV meant lower guarantees, then no, don't do that. Go with the higher guarantees. But if the guarantees would have been the same, then you just go with the higher number.
It's like a big shell game. I wonder, too, how much it has changed and evolved since the early days, right, when it was all new. Because I think there's always probably some mind games going on in the negotiations between the agents and the GMs. And I think there's probably some different philosophies on what's the best way to build your roster if you're the GM, and what's the best way to maximize for your client if you're the agent. So it's just interesting, the different ways that go about it. And it's been going on for years and years and years. I just wonder, I'd love to have somebody that's done it for a long time tell me how much has changed since when, Derek, you were negotiating your deals, right? And you had to have that balance of how much am I getting guaranteed and how much could I potentially get if I stay healthy and I stay on for the length of the contract.
I wish, and I had a great agent or agent in Lamont and in Peter, but I wish that last year when I left Baltimore, I wish I would have taken – I wish I wouldn't have done the contract the way it was done. It was a 2-year, but then it was the last year with Baltimore. I think we ended up signing a 2-year deal, but essentially it was a 1. I wish I would have taken less that second year because I knew I wasn't going to see that second year. I wish I would have sort of balanced it out where they could afford to keep me that last year rather than it ballooning that second year. It looks good as far as an AAV for an older guy, but, you know, in retrospect, as I look back on it, and I've done this, this is not the first time, I've done this years ago, like, man, maybe I should have took a little bit less in regards to an AAV and sort of balanced the contract out, and then I would have possibly been able to stay in Baltimore another year because I was still playing really good football. But because that number had ballooned in that second year, it was like, okay, we got to move on. You're getting older. We got to move on. They had just drafted the kid out of Maryland. I don't know. I'm forgetting his name now. But they ended up drafting him, so he was going to end up coming in and being that second receiver opposite Anquan Boldin. Mm-hmm. So, but you're right. Not many guys back then looked at it like they should now.
And we'll continue the conversation coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts on
Torrey
as well.
Smith.
There
Torrey
we go.
Smith. Yeah, Torrey Smith.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. And hey, Preds fans, hang out tonight before the Preds game in the Superbook Lounge, Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 1025 and 1063 The Game. Place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. 1025, 1063 The Game.
You wanted to be patient. Why was it important to you to get that deal done before Super Bulldog week?
I wouldn't say before Super Bulldog weekend. I'm sure that's a Paul question for he told you to ask that, something like that. But my goal was to get it done when the right time, when both sides came to agreement. Like I said, we came to agreement. I was on a phone call with my team, and we came to agreement. And it just so happened to be before Mississippi State spring game this weekend. So, you know, I'm sure them fans would be crazy. They'd be excited, you know, for the news. I already been getting a lot on social media already. But like I said, I'm grateful, man. I'm grateful. I'm excited to see what the future brings for this organization myself.
There you go. That was Jeffrey Simmons in his press conference yesterday. And I've said it before. I'll say it again. Good for Jeffrey Simmons.
Absolutely.
I mean, he got emotional yesterday talking about his family, his mom, the way that he grew up. And he deserves it. Good for him. That was really, honestly, my biggest takeaway from Jeffrey Simmons yesterday. And when he said he got his ankle cleaned up in the offseason, which the idea of cleaning up your ankle really kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. Mm-hmm. And the tightrope surgery gives me the heebie-jeebies. But overall, just good for Jeff.
Yeah, it is good for Jeff. You know, he's been rewarded for, you know, his play. He's done his part as far as, you know, the things on the field and off the field. And it was time for the Titans to do their part in rewarding Jeffrey Simmons for his play thus far, knowing that once we give him this contract, we believe, because when you give somebody that type of money, you believe that their production will continue. You believe the person that they are will continue and even get better on and off the field. So Jeff did his part, and the Titans came back, and they did their part at signing him. So, but again, I like what he said. This is when it really starts because it's okay. It's great to get the money and do what you need to do to get the money, but we've also seen – and I've seen it a lot where guys get the money and all of a sudden their play declines, you know, and yeah. Jeff doesn't seem like that type of guy. And he said, listen, the real work starts now, you know, and he's right, because there's going to be a lot of pressure, but there's going to be a lot of, you know, expectations of him. You thought the expectations were high because he was a first round pick. When they give you that much money, the expectations doubles because they expect you to play even better than you did prior to getting the money.
You know what's interesting about that, though? I think the best players, the best competitors, it never changes. Whether they're fighting for that next contract, just signed the new lucrative contract, it makes no difference to them. Because they're driven by just that fire, right? They want to win. They want to win for their team. They want to win for their city. They want to win for their family. You know, that's the engine that it's hard to teach. But because we all know that there are other guys that it is a little different. It does change a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're playing, the expectations. Like, if you're the overachieving guy that makes the league minimum, you're the hero. Mm-hmm. And then if you're the high overpaid guy that is not meeting expectations, it affects that guy's play. Like, you've seen that happen many times. But the best, you know, it really does not matter. They always have that edge. And I feel like Jeffrey Simmons is that guy. I feel like you're never going to question his motor, his motivation, his will to win.
I think some guys, and players know other players. It's just the way it is. Some guys you're in the locker room with, and you sit back and you're just observing. You're like, man, I hope they don't give him any money, because if they give him any money, it's not going to be good. And then some players you look at and it's like, he deserves more money because you know who he is as a player. You know, when people would ask me, well, when you signed your contract, what did you do? You know, after signing your contract, your second contract, I said, nah, I went home. I went back to the kids and a wife, and we just enjoyed the day. Why? Because like Jeffrey Simmons, I knew the work started now. The real work starts now. Because the last thing you want to do is sign this contract and then flop and have to hear this for the next year or two. They shouldn't have gave you the contract. You know, all this other negative stuff that you're hearing. So with Jeff, I'm pretty sure it's the same with him. You know, you go home, spend it with your family, and you're not necessarily thinking about the money. You're thinking about, how can I prove to them I deserved this money? I need to work even harder now to make sure that they don't come back or no one's out there whispering about, oh, he really didn't deserve that. Or even players, because that's the last thing you want to do, too. You don't want to sign a huge contract, walking in a locker room after a year, and players are like, man, that's...
He got paid and he got complacent.
And look at him now. Goodness. And it happens. In locker rooms, it happens. And you don't want to be that guy.
And I do think, too, the term is very telling about what his motivation is. Because Paul Durasell, in that clip that we played last segment, he said, you know, we could have gotten a 5-year deal. We could have gotten a 5-year extension. Because technically this is a 5-year deal if you want to tack on the 5th-year option. But they could have gotten an additional year on the extension, is what his agent said. But they didn't want that. They wanted long-term and short-term security, where at the end of this deal, Jeffrey Simmons can go back to the Titans and get an even bigger deal, which means that he's looking 5 years into the future. He's not looking at, woo, I got $66 million in the bank now, like I'm good. He's looking at it like, this is the next step, and now I'm going to set myself up for even more in that next deal. And not that it's just money-driven, but I think that's kind of the mindset of, I'm going to be even better in these next 5 years, and I can get an even better deal in the next 5 years and provide for my family even more in the next 5 years. And Jeffrey Simmons, I think with the fire that he plays with, he doesn't seem to be that kind of guy that can just kick his feet up and say, okay, I'm good. I'm taken care of.
Nah, I don't think he can. But it's a 3-tier motivation here, and he said 2 of them. The money is the driving force. Listen, so a lot of guys play this game because we enjoy it and we love it. Some guys play this game for what it can do for you, not necessarily what you can do for the game. And when I mean what it can do for you, meaning the notoriety, you know, the money and everything else, some guys do it because, what can I do for this game? What legacy can I live in this game? And that will afford me the money, you know, if I play well.
Right.
So it is always a 3-tier thing. It's money security first, because you don't want to beat your body up and not have any, you know, financial security.
This is a job after all.
It's a job after all, just like any other job. Mm-hmm. You want to have security for your family. So one is the money security, but then two, Jeff said it. Listen, I want to win a Super Bowl and have a yellow jacket. You know, first I want to win that Super Bowl, and then what comes with that Super Bowl in my play is that yellow jacket.
That
legacy that you leave. So it's, I got my money. That's what I wanted. I got it. I played. I got it. Now in the midst of all of this, even before the money, I want that Super Bowl. So that's even more of a driving force. And then I want that gold jacket. So it's a three-tier want. The money, the championship, and then the gold jacket. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely not. Nothing wrong with that. Let's get some of your thoughts on it. 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe texts in and says, with the brutal nature of the sport of football, not getting the max amount of guaranteed money is crazy. Your career could literally end on any play. I don't disagree.
No, I don't
disagree. In the slightest. And that's something that I've heard from you so many times. Chris Sanders, former players, that's what you always reiterate. That's what you look for is signing bonuses, guaranteed money. Money that you know is on the table for sure. While, the, you know, to Paul DeRussell's point, while the AAV looks nice, you know, while the big cushy deal may look nice on the surface, let's dissect it a little bit and really see what's underneath. Because what's underneath might not look as pretty as it looks on the surface. Whereas as the guaranteed monies, what is going into your bank account, what you have secured, what you've earned. That's the most important thing, the guaranteed money. Another texter texts in the text line says, I've never even worried about Jeffrey Simmons not getting paid or not getting motivated after getting paid. I think that's kind of speaks to his character.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have really come to enjoy my conversations with this guy over the years because he's a really sharp, insightful guy. He's had a lot of issues. But remember, when Albert Haynesworth was a dominant player for the Titans, they were concerned about what would happen if he then made the huge money. And therefore, it was a rough negotiation in the years leading up. They franchised him. They were hesitant to really put the money down. And then sure enough, when he became a free agent, he got enormous money. And it immediately went south. He was never quite the same player. But I just think there are certain guys that you feel good about. Look, it could like the texter just said, your career can change on one play.
Yeah,
and there's nothing anybody can do about
Unfortunately,
it.
Unfortunately, we saw that on full display this past season.
Yeah, but
in that Bills Bengals game.
But when you invest in a guy, when you believe in a guy 100%, and you know that this guy is going to give you everything he's got. You feel much better about making a huge investment in like that. I just don't think they ever had that same level with Haynesworth, who was just as dominant in his heyday. I mean, he was incredible, especially for the last 2 years that he was with the Titans. He was a game changer.
He might have been, and we can argue this up and down, but he might have been the most dominant force the Tennessee Titans have ever had on the defensive. On the defense, period, and they've had some
for that period of time.
Maybe not for 5-6 years, but for when he put it all together.
Yeah, he was the most dominant player that the Titans ever had on that side of the ball.
That's
for that two year period, and Jeffrey Simmons is sort of in the same line of dominant defensive linemen that the Titans have either brought in via free agency, Kevin Carter. Vandenbosch, or they've drafted Albert Haynesworth and not Jeffrey Simmons. And we go down the line, Keith Bullock, but I'm just saying defensive linemen, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, when you can say that he's the most dominant force of that group, that's saying something.
Yeah.
A whole lot of dominant forces in that group. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And, hey, do not miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 1025 and 106.3 The Game. Join Jared Stillman, D. Mace, and Chris Sanders as they broadcast live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of 29 Degree Beer, on Thursday, April 27th.
There's nothing to report. It was an erroneous report that came out. You know, I've spoken to Todd, Derek's representative, and, we're in a good place. So there's nothing new to report from there. I know Derek trains like crazy in the location where he trains. I know the location. I don't want to put it out there. But Derek is going to be Derek. You know, he's going to take his time away and do what he has to do to make sure that he's ready to go. So I feel we're in a good place.
There you go. That was Brian Carthon at the owners' meetings. He was asked about Derrick Henry. He said, nothing to report. We feel good about Derrick Henry. We feel good about where he is. And, of course, that was a response to some of the reports coming out that the Titans were, quote-unquote, shopping Derrick Henry. that sent this entire city into an absolute shock storm, and everyone was panicking and freaking out. And so I thought, you know, we're kind of past that at this point. I thought, you know, Rand Carthon addressed it. While it's still something that could possibly be on the table, I don't think it's anything that at least the three of us look at as being a serious possibility, or if something that should be, you know, 1A on our radar. But it came up yet again. So this is, I've seen a few reports coming out there. I don't want to use the word report, more so just response or articles coming out about the Titans trading Derrick Henry to the Dallas Cowboys. This has been something I've seen several articles about it, several, you know, conversations on Twitter. And this is one that I see coming out from Pro Football Network. Headline is Derrick Henry trade rumors. Could Titans running back fit with the Dallas Cowboys? Now, this article says that the Titans will be willing to trade Derrick Henry to the Cowboys, and references an article put out by Bill Barnwell that says Bill Barnwell said that this could potentially happen. And I thought, well, that's weird. I don't remember Bill Barnwell ever saying that. And this is from a few weeks ago. So the link to the article pops up. So I clicked on the article, and I've read it before. And when I read it, nothing really stood out to me. I said, okay, let's read it again then. Maybe I missed something. Sentence is, if it's not Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys could look toward a market that still includes Leonard Fournette, Latavius Murray, and Kareem Hunt unsigned. There's also a chance expensive veterans such as Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook could be released after the draft.
I mean, do I expect Derrick Henry to be released? No. You can't release a guy after coming off a 1,500-yard season just because you probably don't want to pay him the money that you owe him that this upcoming season. Now, if he was coming off of 700 yards, 800 yards, you know, playing just about all games, then yes, I can see that happening, a release.
Right.
But after what Derrick Henry did, he still – from a yardage standpoint, he still was second in the NFL in rushing. How can you just say, you know what, because we don't want to pay him, we're just going to release him? Hell no, you're not releasing him.
No.
Now, you may trade him to Dallas, and that's not out of the realm of possibility of trading him to Dallas. I don't see it happening.
Right.
But he would be a good fit in Dallas. Why? Because it takes all the pressure off of Dak Prescott to win you football games. And now you become the number one team in the NFC because now you have a legitimate freight train behind Dak Prescott.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
But remember, his contract is structured. Remember, they renegotiated last year. So they gave him the raise. Remember that whole quote, everybody would love a raise. Remember Derrick Henry said that?
Who wouldn't want a raise?
Well, they gave him a raise.
Yes.
But what does that do? It kicks the can down the road, and now that cap figure is really high. It's a cap figure that he's never played under. He's never played for a cap figure that high. So how much trade value is that? Why would you trade for that contract? That's why it gets talked about the release. I don't think it'll come to that. But it is a lingering issue. Like we were saying yesterday, now that they got the Jeffrey Simmons things done, the preview of coming attractions after the draft, the contracts of Tannehill, Byard, and Henry. I think if you're a betting man, that they're going to have to address at least one of them. I don't think they can sit there and have all of them at those exact numbers. And we know they've already started to work on the buyer thing. It hasn't gone anywhere, but they've at least made the phone call. I don't know if they've done that yet with Henry, but I just don't know if you can play at that number again. But then do you do it again? Do you kick the can down the road again? Eventually, it comes to it, and that's why Eddie George was eventually released and signed with, guess who? The Cowboys, right?
Yeah, but
now,
Eddie,
his career had declined more, for sure. But you never wanted to... Like, there was a time, like, you would never release Eddie George,
no,
would you?
Uh-uh.
But they did. It gets to that. It's like, you can't rule it out that someday they would have to release Derrick Henry. I hope it doesn't happen. And I hope it doesn't happen this year, but it comes to a head sometimes.
Well, yeah. And, you know, the difference is, you know, Eddie had been dealing with a turf toe and some other injuries, and it affected his play. Had he not had the toe injury, I think he would have stayed here and retired as a, like, playing a final year and then retiring as a Titan. But because of the injuries, they sort of wanted to move away from that. But if – I'm not going to say it's out of the realm of possibility because of this. If Jerry Jones feel you can help his team win a Super Bowl, he would do whatever it takes to get you. Derrick Henry is coming off a 1,500-yard season, averaging over 4 yards a carry. His touchdowns were in the double digits. He caught the football a little bit better. If there was a trading partner, I wouldn't put it past the Dallas Cowboys to go get him. They didn't get Odell Beckham because of his injury. Mm-hmm. Not because Jerry Jones probably didn't want him. He probably wanted him because he knew it could help him. But he couldn't get past the injury. Best believe if he has an opportunity to get Derrick Henry, even under that contract, he will. Why? Because Derrick Henry can help him win a Super Bowl. It's been damn near 20 years, if not 20 years, since they won a championship.
But do they have the cap space to bring on a $16 million cap?
They would figure it out.
But what does Jerry Jones always do? He puts himself behind the eight ball because he reworks all these contracts and gets a lot of dead money. He should care because they haven't won anything.
He want to win.
He hasn't handled the cap very well over the years.
They are one restructured contract away from winning a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
They have been for 25 years.
You better not tell Cowboys fans that he's not. They're going to win a championship, okay? Chase is probably jumping up and down like, yes, we want Henry, but don't leave Tennessee, please.
But I also
– they're the classic – that Jared, that the salary cap is fake, they are the classic reason why it's not, because they put themselves in a bind all the time because of all the superstars they bring in. They rework the contract. They play all the dead – we'll give them the bonus here. We'll worry about it later. And then later comes and, oh, man, what do we do now? Well, we got to restructure this. And they have a team that doesn't have any depth.
And they hire pretty bad coaches.
Yeah.
That doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Although Mike McCarthy didn't have the worst season in the world this past season, I will give Mike McCarthy credit that.
Well, he threw the OC under the bus.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he's out the door.
He threw the OC under the bus, and it shouldn't have been OC fault because I don't think it was. But
I think Jerry just gets in his own way sometimes. Yeah. But back to this Pro Football Network article. This was another thing that just birches in a bunch a little bit. It says Ryan Tannehill is not Tennessee's long-term answer at quarterback.
Duh.
Correct. The wide receiver situation leaves much to be desired. Correct. Mm-hmm. And the engine of their offense, the king himself, correct, mm-hmm. is nearing the end. According to who?
Yeah.
According to who? History? Because, yes, if you would say that once you turn 30 years old, history would say that running backs start to take, a little bit of a decline, fine. Derrick Henry was the second leading rusher in the National Football League this past year. Derrick Henry ran for 1,500 yards. Now, if you watch some of Derrick Henry, maybe you could see, okay, he's getting taken from behind a little bit more. Maybe those runs that could have popped off for 20, 25, 30 yards were more 10, 15-yard runs from Derrick Henry. That's fine. We can totally have that conversation. But to say that he's nearing the end, I don't think is a fair evaluation. And if there was a running back that was nearing the end, why would the Cowboys, or any team for that matter, be interested in trading for them?
Well, the shiny new toy is a Jerry Jones thing. There's no question about
it. Totally.
But nearing the end, that's a little bit harsh. The argument has to come down to what is his value based on what you're paying him. Like, if you could have Derrick Henry, if you could just rip up the contract, or let's say you could sign him to a new deal. He's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
If you got him at the right price, I think he would be a fantastic addition to a team. But it's just like, I think what you're really asking is Derrick Henry still the premier running back in the league? Is he quite what he was 2 years ago, 3 years ago? The answer is no, but that doesn't mean he's nearing the end.
No.
Right? Mm-mm. But he's still making huge amounts of money in terms of the cap.
Yes.
That's the dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
And at what point is it more valuable, or could you get more production or bang for your buck with a different formula of a committee of running backs making a lot less money? that's where the balance has to come.
And is their impact going to equal what Derrick Henry gives you?
Well, and it's not even like we talk about every year. It's not just what he gives you on the field.
It's off the field.
It's
and in
off
the, locker room.
The field. Yeah. He's the heartbeat of your team. And there's still that respect to the defense. Like when he's lined up back there, mm-hmm. the defense has to account for it.
You can't ignore Derrick yeah. Henry. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your phones on that. Plus, it's a little bit of a more depressing edition of Willie's playoff watch. But there are playoffs nonetheless, so we will get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 the game.
Rebound! Score!
Willie's playoff watch.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Now, on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. Now, Willie's playoff watch is a whole lot less fun when it is not Willie's yes. Predators playoff watch. However, there are Stanley Cup playoffs nonetheless. So an update around the league from Willie D, including a pretty long streak that was just snapped last night.
Yeah, I wish we could play the you're telling me there's a chance.
So you're
because
telling me there's
man. There's no chance. There it's was not a- even one in a million. Not even one in a million.
There used to be a chance.
Yeah. As there was a chance. And the Wild,
we
should be still a little
zero.
Bit angry at the Wild. They could have created
a
lot of fun.
I hate the Wild.
Tonight could have been a lot of fun.
Boo!
I hate the Wild.
If they had just won the other night, life goes on. Life goes on. So the chances, as they we'll switch movies from Dumb and Dumber to Animal House, where uh-huh. Dean Wormer provides the grade point average for Mr. Brutarski.
0.0.
Exactly. 0.0.
Double secret probation.
Yes. Yes. So they'll have to move forward. But and Minnesota is locked in now at the number 3 position in the Central. So they cannot move up or down. So they are going to rest a number of their players uh-huh. tonight. So the message from John Hines, look, let's just take it all the way to the finish line. Let's not change anything. Let's keep playing hard. And create and stay with this good feeling that they've built, you know, mm-hmm. despite falling a little bit short of the playoffs. Meanwhile, you know, one of the things that we've been saying all along is when they made the decision to sell at the deadline, they gave themselves, you know, all of these assets that will come in handy. They're going to have the draft here in Nashville. They've got 13 picks. It's going to be really exciting. And some of these picks they acquired at the deadline. Other teams doubled down. They added at the trade deadline, and we've seen that not all of them made it, including the Pittsburgh Penguins. They are out. They lost to the Blackhawks the other day. They have made the playoffs every year since 2006 is the last time they missed, so 2007. Mm-hmm. It's been a heck of a run for them.
Yeah.
They are not in, and they added at the deadline. So they've got a lot of questions to answer. Today is a rough day in Pittsburgh. Last night, the Islanders clinched a wild card. Florida has clinched. So all of the teams are spoken for. There's still some seeds that can slide up and down. So tomorrow, there is a chance, depending on what happens tonight, that Colorado could be playing for a one seed in the Central or the division championship in the Central. And so, you know, they would play Seattle or Winnipeg as opposed to having to play Minnesota. So we'll see what Colorado decides to do tomorrow. It depends on what Dallas does as well. So Dallas and Colorado are competing for the Central. And then in the East, you still have a couple things that could be sorted out here. New Jersey and Carolina are 1 point apart for the one seed in the Metro. That's a big thing, too. Like, I think there's a pretty good drop-off. Who would you rather play in the first round? The Rangers? Team with 107 points, or one of the wild card teams, the Islanders or the Panthers. There's a big, big difference
yeah. mm-hmm.
there. You know, whether you're wild card one or what, if you're the Islanders in Florida, you better, like the Islanders have gotten 93 points. Florida has one more game. If they win, and I don't know who's got the tiebreaker, but would you rather play Boston or Carolina?
Give me Carolina.
I mean, that's the thing.
Like, but that's also yeah. like the lesser of two evils.
Yeah. But
maybe.
But Boston has been so dominant,
yeah.
right? You mentioned it. Carolina has had a great year. 51 points. It could be New Jersey. Those teams have 51 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Great year. Boston has 64 wins. They have 133 points.
That's ridiculous.
So that Boston will be a heavy favorite whoever they play, but if you're Florida and you have a chance to win and get a chance to play either Jersey or Carolina, that would be a better matchup, I would think, than the Bruins. The Bruins have got such a loaded team.
I think anyone would be a better matchup than the Bruins at this
point.
Yeah,
the way you talk of it. And then, you know, like anything, I'm looking at these matchups, potential matchups. Styles make fights. And, you know, sometimes you know, from the outside looking in, you say, well, maybe they don't want to play that team, mm-hmm. that particular team. But then you start to look at, you know, some of the analytics that Willie's really love. And then you start to think, well, from an analytics standpoint, this might be a better matchup for them rather than playing someone else that may have a better record. I mean, may have a lesser record than what that particular team has.
Yeah, and it is weird. Some of these games that happened at the very end of the season that changed the matchups mm-hmm. of the playoffs. Remember last year, Nashville, they got UC Soros hurt in the second to last game, which was just an absolute killer, you know, because they would have played the Flames instead of the Avalanche. There was an enormous difference between those two teams, even though the Flames have a great year. But playing the Avalanche without UC Soros as opposed to playing the Flames with UC Soros, that could have changed the mm-hmm. entire script going forward. In 2017, when the Predators went all the way to the Stanley Cup final and lost to the Penguins, it flipped the last day of the season. The Predators had the lead late in Winnipeg, up 2-1. For whatever reason, Winnipeg made a couple of big plays. They scored two goals, and Nashville slips from the 7th seed to the 8th seed, or mm-hmm. wild card 1 to wild card 2. They draw the Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. It ended up being perfect.
Exactly.
Right? They swept the Blackhawks.
That's pretty good
they
for them.
It worked out great.
Even though it was, it felt like the world against the Predators in that series.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it was a better matchup.
It was absolutely a better matchup. And, yeah. and the Predators, they were like, that's fine. We love playing the Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget Peter Laviolette. He was like, yeah, we feel like we match up very well with them. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember who won the other division. I think it might have been Anaheim, if I remember. They would have played Anaheim instead. And eventually they had to beat Anaheim too. Mm-hmm. But they would have had to hop a plane, go all the way out to Anaheim. So they were sitting there thinking, well, it's not really that different, to be honest with you. So
both good teams.
Certainly history has shown. Yeah.
I remember when we talked to PK a few months ago when it was PK Subban night, he said we looked at it, at that matchup against Chicago. He said we didn't care if anybody else counted us out. We knew we could beat them. We knew we were a better team than them. You mentioned Peter Laviolette. Do you think he still will be the coach in Washington come next year?
You know, Peter Laviolette, what is it? The Rolling Stone, right? He is a winner. What's the line by is it the Temptations that sing Papa was a Rolling Stone? Wherever he laid his hat, it was his home. He's the great five and dive, right? Uh-huh. He goes 4 or 5 years, he wins a ton of games, and then goes to another place for 4 or 5 years and wins a ton of games. He had his run through here. If history repeats, it probably won't be long. I don't know. They're going to miss the playoffs. Right. It's so weird. Like, this is the first year since 06 that no Crosby, no Ovechkin in the playoffs.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So that has been a long, long time.
2006.
That's a long time.
I was in third grade.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So Washington, definitely, this is another team. Uh-huh. Older team. You know, Ovechkin's not getting any younger. Some of the other guys, TJ Oshie, Nick Backstrom, guys that were right there with Barry Trotz when they won the whole thing.
Right.
Five years ago. It catches up after a while. So they have tough decisions, and they might want to break it down. But as we said before, one of the toughest things to do when you have those guaranteed contracts, mm-hmm. we had these discussions last hour about the nuances of signing a new contract. How much is guaranteed? How much is not? Every dollar is guaranteed in the NHL, but that makes it tough to move, especially we know the salary cap isn't going up. That's why, as you sit here, if you're not in the dance, at least if you're the Predators, you feel good about the flexibility that you created. You know, you move some salary cap space. You have a lot of draft capital. Some of these other guys do not. Like, they're up against the cap. They're stuck with a lot of same players next year. They have some of the same question marks, and they didn't make it this year.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Elliot Friedman, the 32 Thoughts podcast, and Sportsnet will join us coming up next. And Nashville's best deal of the week is Joyland in East Nashville. Get half off a $30 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals and enjoy the best burger in town. Find some joy today and eat Joyland for half off with Nashville's best deal of the week at gamenashville.com. 1025-1063 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.